In this episode of Startups for the Rest of Us, Rob and I are going to be talking about 9 summertime productivity tactics. This is Startups for the Rest of Us, episode 344. Welcome to Startups for the Rest of Us. The podcast helps developers, designers, and entrepreneurs be awesome at building, launching, and growing software products. Whether you built your first product, or you're just thinking about it. I'm Mike.
And I'm Rob.
And we're here to share experiences to help you avoid the same mistakes we've made. What's going on this week, Rob?
Well, you remember how I was sick last week over the weekend? I don't know if it became or developed or if it always was, but I basically got strep throat again. I have never had it in my life, and then I have had it twice in the past 8 months. Mm. And both of the times, it has been our six-year-old's class. We get an email that's like, strep throat's going through our class. So my six-year-old's like a carrier. He like brings it home. He doesn't get it. But then I wound up with it both times. So I was wrecked over the weekend, you know, sleeping. Just basically in and out of consciousness. And Sherry on Sunday morning was like, dude, you have to go to urgent care. And both times, I'm like, it's such a waste of time. I'm not that sick, you know. And she's like, you're a wreck. And so sure enough, I go in and they test, and it's like, you know, 10 minutes later, they're like, you have strep.
That sucks.
But the good news when you have it is that they give you antibiotics and it fixes you up right away. I mean, within, you know, 6-7 hours of taking the first pill, I felt quite a bit better. And then, you know, the next day you're up at 60-70%, and then, you know, the day after you're at 80. So it's a much faster recovery if you can use the antibiotics. So that was that. It was kind of a bummer, kind of at half speed this week because of it.
So if you'd only gone in like 3 or 4 days in advance.
I know, when I still felt fine, when I just had like a head cold, you know. I know.
Yep. Oh, well, you know, could be worse. At least you're, you know, starting to get over it now.
I know. Yeah, I do feel better. And I'm really enjoying the summer, man. Like, I think it is because we live now in a place that has, you know, more broader seasons or more noticeable seasons. But I just don't remember having this kind of euphoric feeling of like, I want to be outside all the time. Like right now, I'm actually not sitting in my office. I'm sitting out on a deck, you know, overlooking the street and the trees and the breeze and stuff. And I just didn't used to do that as much because kind of year round in California, you can be outside. But there's just so much going on right now. So I feel like it's an interesting thing. I feel like I'm working a little bit less and like I want to work a little bit less. But during the time that I'm working, I'm like hyper productive. Like I hammered out, honestly, it felt like a day's or day and a half worth of work the other day in like 4 or 5 hours. I was just at full like race car speed and all this stuff poured out of me. And I had this to-do list that I expected to take literally multiple days, and I just hammered everything out. And I think there's this part of this vitamin D, you know, and being able to easier to exercise and all that.
One of the things that kind of contributes to that or could contribute to that is the fact that, like you said, that when you live in California, it's almost summertime the year round. And like our brains kind of act as a difference engine where we are able to notice stark changes. But if there's gradual changes, we don't notice them nearly as much. And that's probably like a contributing factor to kind of how you're seeing things, the different in Minnesota versus California.
For sure. How about you? What's going on?
Well, I think last week I talked about how it was probably going to take me at least a week or two to get my self-sign-up process in place, and I'm probably about halfway done after working about a week on it. So
why does that take so long? It doesn't seem like it should be that complicated.
You wouldn't think. So the issue is that like a subscription inside the software was originally tied to a user. So what it would do is it would create the subscription first and then create the user, and it was just because the way things were kind of built early on, and because I'm kind of decoupling that where you have to create the user account first, like there's no back-end subscription that it's tied to. So all these other things break because of that. So I'm going through and I'm kind of hacking things together. Like there's a lot of things that I'm kind of overlooking and making this blanket assumption that just says, look, if you don't have a subscription ID, then you really don't have an account. You're just not going to be able to log in, which makes complete sense. It's just that there's that decoupling right now that a ton of code had to change to make that work, just because like database constraints and things like that. So
got it. So you're not just building a two-step sign-up flow. You are refactoring your data model and then building that. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So that makes sense. I mean, we went through a couple of these really early on with Drip, and yeah, they were like, I remember Derek spending like a month and a half twice at two different times basically trying to decouple things in the data model because we had made together had just made the wrong choice early on. So if you're doing that, that makes sense. But I would separate that in your head of like, all right, this is a necessary refactor, because that's going to make everything better long term, right? If you decouple the subscriptions from users, it's going to give you more flexibility. And, you know, we can talk offline. It would be probably boring to talk about on the podcast, but just the way how we architected it in Drip, where you can have a bunch of different users and subscription is the master. And then there's accounts, which are a separate thing. You know, that's what's in the drop-down list in the upper right, and how they're all many to many in essence. And it has given us a maximum flexibility to allow agencies to have the flexibility to do what they want, and individuals for it not to be too complicated and that stuff. So I'm assuming that's the direction you're headed, right? Is giving yourself, as long as you have it on the back end, like as long as your table structure supports that, it's like you don't even have to build the code to do it yet. But being able to, obviously changing the data model later is really time consuming. So that's what you want to do.
Yeah. All the stuff with the data model, like that's exactly what I'm dealing with right now. And it's just, I knew longer term that it would be an issue, but I kept pushing it off and pushing it off. And now I kind of have to bite the bullet and just say, all right, I got to do something about it. But I'm still like, there are hundreds and hundreds of places where like the subscription ID is referenced directly on the user account, and it shouldn't be there. It never should have gone there. But I don't want to go through and make all those changes now, because one, it's time consuming, and two, it's going to be risky, to be honest. So I'm kind of pushing some of those things off and refactoring some things and just making that assumption that, hey, you have to have a subscription ID in order to log in.
And hopefully writing a lot of unit tests.
Yeah, I'm definitely adding unit tests as well.
Cool. So what are we talking about today?
Well, with the onset of summer, I'm sitting here next to a giant window that looks out onto my backyard, and I've noticed that the days have gotten progressively nicer and nicer. And even in New England, sometimes it just rains right up until early summer. And in fact, it was still raining pretty continuously for like the last couple of weeks. So earlier this week, it started to clear up. So I'm looking out the window thinking to myself, I'd really like to be outside right now. So I thought it would be nice to go through some summer productivity tactics that people can kind of keep in mind. And I realize this is only applicable to probably half of the world, because people in the other hemisphere are kind of going into winter at this point. But at the same time, you know, these types of tactics are going to apply as you're going into summer, whether that's now or in 6 months.
Sounds good. So we have 9 summertime productivity tactics. Let's dive in.
So the first one is to kind of time box your day. And essentially what this is putting a hard stop on the end of your day so that you know that at some point, and you look at the clock and you know what that time that's going to be, like that's the end of your workday. And this is, I think, especially important for people who work from home or out of a home office and have a lot more flexibility and can find themselves in a situation where they're working extended hours because they really want to get something done. And the idea here is really just put that hard stop on the end of your day. And I think this is a general tip that is a good practice to follow, but I think it's more important in the summertime, especially when you're looking out the window and there's this draw to go outside just because it's nice out and you really don't want to be spending the time in front of your computer.
Yeah, I think it's important to do this. And I think if you have flexibility with your schedule, that cuts both ways, right? It's as much of a curse as it is a blessing. Probably the best way I've found to approach it is to think of the day in four to six hour chunks. There's your morning, there's your afternoon, early evening, and then there is your kind of evening or late night. And I don't like to work three of those in a row. You can work up to two in a row. Now, to be honest, when I was younger, when I was in my 20s, I was a momentum player. And so I would love to do these long, like 15 hour, sometimes longer work days and then take the next day off. I don't so much enjoy that anymore. And you have to be doing some pretty specific tasks in order to do that. I used to be able to write code like that for an extended period of time, but you can't be creative for that long, right? You just don't have the juices. Nowadays, I think, you know, I can work any two in a row and then I need to take the third off. So if I work afternoon, evening, I'll take the morning off. I don't do that as much anymore now that we have more of a normal schedule, but you get the idea here. So I think that time boxing your workday and getting the maximum productivity out of, let's say, the 4 to 8 hours that you're going to work in a row, which is kind of what I recommend. I mean, I know a lot of founders who work 4 to 6 hour days and get a ton done. And I think if you actually think about what your day looks like, if you're sitting at your desk for 8 or 9 hours, if you were really hammering it, you could probably get all that done if you didn't have any distractions and minimal interruptions, and you just went full force with the music and the caffeine and just went in the zone for a good solid 4 hours. You can get as much done as you can in a full day of kind of, you know, kind of screwing around. So time boxing is something I definitely believe in.
The second one on this list, which probably should have been first, was to keep what's working. And really what that means is don't throw away all the productivity tactics and hacks that you've kind of put together over the past 6 months to a year and throw them out the window because it's summertime. The fact is that if you got those to the point where they were working for you, whether that was getting up early or taking a break at 11 o'clock in the morning for an hour or taking an early lunch, things like that, if you find that those particular things are working for you and have worked for you, don't just immediately throw them away because it's summertime. And there are situations where really readjusting your schedule and doing a complete overhaul on it are warranted. But I wouldn't say that going into summer is one of those things. I mean, you can play around with things, experiment a little bit, but I wouldn't make such a drastic change unless there was some major reason for doing that. Like, you know, you got into a car accident and you're on crutches for a while or something like that. You don't have that with the summertime coming.
The third tactic is to take outdoor breaks. Maybe you're eating lunch outside. Maybe you go for a walk before or after lunch or in the early afternoon when you kind of start to get tired. And, you know, early afternoon is always kind of a tough spot coming back into work. You can use this time to think about hard problems while also enjoying the weather, getting some vitamin D. I'll give you an example of this. This morning, I was sitting outside. I was drinking coffee. I was thinking about stuff. I did a little bit of email. I responded to everybody's Slack messages. And then I had kind of a hard problem that I wanted to think through. So I hopped on my bike and I rode around this lake that's right near us. It's called Lake Harriet. And I mean, it literally, from the time I like jumped on the bike until the time I got back into the garage, it was like 20 minutes, maybe 25 minutes, but it was a perfect amount of time for me to think through this issue. And it was very much like, you know, you have major epiphanies when you're in the shower, when you're doing dishes, like bike riding is the same for me. And this could be walking, it could be running, it could be whatever, but just being outside for those few moments, like really kicked my day off in the right fashion. And so by the time it was, you know, 10 in the morning, I was like highly motivated to come back and just hammer on a bunch of stuff that I had to get done.
Yeah, I remember when I used to work at Pedestal Software, one of the things that we would do, like the guys that I worked with on my part of the engineering team, we'd basically take a walk around. There was this inner loop inside the office campus that we were at. And every day after lunch, we would just take a couple of laps around that and just sit there and talk about some of the different things we were working on. And it was really nice and motivational to have that time, not just to kind of get that outdoor time, but also to talk about the things that we were working on. And it was almost like a mini meeting, but you know, we were getting that a little bit more of a creative spark by being outdoors. The fourth tactic is to change your working hours. And some companies refer to this as summer hours, but I think that there's a lot of different variations that you can put onto this tactic. So the first variation is like 2 4-day work weeks. So you can either take Wednesdays off or Fridays off. Most companies will take like a half day on Friday, but you can also do other things. Like you could say, okay, we're going to do 6-hour work days instead of 8-hour work days. And then you do that every single day of the week. Or you can shift your schedule a little bit and get up and start working at 6 o'clock, and you can be done by 3 or 4, or just, you know, start later and end earlier. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to play around with the schedule, but just shifting your schedule a little bit to give yourself more time during the summer to enjoy the summer, all that's going to be very helpful and beneficial for your motivation.
Yeah, if you're in control of your schedule, if you're a founder, you have flexibility, now's the time to do it. Like, now's the time to take that extra day off, to shorten your days. You're not going to regret it. You know, I guess that's what I'll say, is it always sounds scary to think about changing your work schedule and that you're not going to get as much done, or your competitor's going to catch you or whatever. It's pretty unlikely. And you can always change. If you get, try it for 2 weeks, maybe a month, you know, somewhere in that range, and just commit to doing it, even if it feels weird, even if you don't love it, commit to doing that, and then figure out if you actually are enjoying the summer more. Now, the thing is, you need to figure out something to do with that time, though. So the hard thing is if you work for 4 or 6 hours and you say, all right, I'm not going to work, you have to now go ride a bike, you have to start playing the guitar, you have to go paddleboarding. Like, you have to fill that time with something. Otherwise, we all naturally will revert back to working. So fill it with a hobby or exercise or something, so that, you know, work doesn't constantly pull you back to the laptop every time you see it.
The other thing to keep in mind when you're doing that is that that time is really kind of spent rejuvenating your mind and mental energy. So it's not as if you are at a dead stop at that point. It's like you're really recharging your batteries. So this analogy came to me the other day where, like, if you were doing a cross-country trip and you need to maintain an average of, I don't know, say 50 miles an hour. Well, if you stop for 4 hours, your average speed at that point is zero. But the reality is that, like, you are allowing yourself to be able to move faster in the work context when you take those breaks. And if you do those in the middle of the day, like, you're going to be able to move faster and make better progress while you're working versus having your progress decrease over time throughout the course of the day, so that by the end of it, like, you're only operating at 10 or 20%, when if you took a break in the middle, you'd probably be able to get yourself back up to like 70 or 80. So it's really just a balancing act and being able to rejuvenate yourself as part of that time that you're taking off. The fifth summer productivity tactic is to schedule your vacation time. And I think this is something that most people will probably have done quite a bit of by now. Like, we plan our family vacation probably 6 months in advance, so like around the January or February timeframe. But these are the types of things that allow you to get out of the office for extended period of times. And it's not just, you know, the weekend or a couple of days in the middle of the week. It's usually you want to take several days off in a row in addition to the weekend. We try to take at least a week off. If we can do more, we will. But it really depends on kind of what other things are going on. And now that my wife owns a business and I own my own business, it makes the scheduling a little bit more difficult just because of all the different things that are going on. But, you know, you really want to be able to take these times and schedule those vacations with everybody so that everybody can kind of just enjoy the time off.
Our sixth tactic is to learn something new. And this goes along with what I said earlier about learning to fill this extra time that you're going to, you know, eke out of your day. Learning something new obviously can be motivational. So, you know, consider spending some time this summer learning a new skill that you can put to good use during the summer and later on. Like, learn to play the guitar, and then you could play now on, you know, on the outdoor patio. And then during the winter, when everyone's sad and it's dark and cold, you know, you can sit inside and play it. Or again, you know, pick up paddleboarding or get a bike. About a year ago, when we moved to Minneapolis, we're near some lake, Sherry bought two stand-up paddleboards within a couple weeks of us getting here. I've actually quite literally picked up the guitar again. I used to play all the time. I was in a couple bands years ago, and I've been picking it up lately and just, you know, learning new songs. It's been kind of fun. And I actually got a road bike. So I've had like a comfort bike for a long time, but these things are so heavy, and I've been riding back and forth, you know, because there's bike trails basically from my house to work. It's about a 25 or 30 minute ride, and my big comfort bike was so heavy that it was taking like 45 minutes because I just couldn't get the big old steel frame going fast enough. So sure enough, you know, I talked to Anna on the Drip team. She's big time into cycling, and she gave me some recommendations, and I got a really nice road bike off Amazon for like $550. And I say it's really nice. For me, it's really nice. It's an entry-level road bike, but this thing is awesome. It's super light, and it's like, feels like a kind of a neat little new hobby, you know, to be able to ride this bike around. And that's what I was saying, like, this morning. I actually don't like exercise. Like, it's not something I enjoy. I'm not into it. It doesn't make me, you know, people say, oh, my day is wrecked without exercise. Mine is not. So I have to kind of force myself to do it. I used to play sports in college, and what I liked about that is it forced me to exercise, basically. But I loved being around the team, and I loved the competition. I didn't actually love the physical exertion. It's just not something that I naturally need. But this, having a bike around or this lake or just some outlet, has been like this excuse for me to get outside, move around, what do you call it, get the endorphins pumping and staying in some kind of shape. And of course, summer's the time to do that, right? After several months of kind of being indoors during the winter.
So now, instead of taking 40 minutes to get to work, it only takes you 38 because you're old, right?
Old. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, nice one. No, I get there in about 25 on a good day, and 30 if I'm taking it easy. Yeah, it works out nicely. I mean, given that the ride is about 25, you know, my drive to work is like 16, 17 minutes with no traffic. But on the drive home, it's 25 to 30 with traffic. So it's essentially equal, but I get the exercise out of it. So it's pretty fun.
The seventh tactic on our list is to schedule fun time. And this could be specifically summer fun time or something that you dedicate time to on a regular basis. One of the things that I've kind of enjoyed doing lately is there's a local meetup where they play board games. So I'll go there on Friday nights. But during the summer, I mean, you have a lot more options. So whether that's riding your bike or, you know, we have a pool as well. So like, our kids love going swimming in the pool pretty much all year long. And right now it's kind of cold. It's probably in the mid-60s right now, pretty close to 70, I think, in terms of the pool water. But as the summer marches on, it's just going to get warmer, and we have a pool cover, and it's going to be nice to be able to go out there and just hang out by the pool for a little while. So, you know, we typically have friends over on the weekends, most weekends, I'd say, but there's also times where they'll just come over in the middle of the week because it's summer vacations. So the kids don't have school, and they just kind of come over and do their thing. And it's nice to be able to sit there and just take the time in and enjoy the nice weather outside. And that is essentially scheduled fun time at that point.
Yeah, I think doing something at least once a week is a good way to think about it and a good way to map it out. In the past couple of weeks, some things that I've done is like during my work day, the other afternoon on one of the work from home days, I went to this super cool coffee shop. I got some iced coffee, and normally my afternoons are not as productive as my mornings, but this afternoon it was. It was that it's that new environment where it like kind of inspires creativity, or there's something about the chaos of being in a new place. And of course, you know, getting lightly caffeinated in the afternoon was great. We have been going to, there are these outdoor concerts at the Lake Harriet Band Shell here near our house. And there's like five nights a week of different bands. There's cover bands. There's like there was a Tom Petty and then there was a Beatles cover band, and there are drum circles and all kinds of stuff. And so we've been riding over there. It's about a 5-7 minute bike ride. So we've been taking the kids after school. We've been swimming in the lake. I mean, that kind of stuff. So it's like having one or two of those a week to kind of look forward to as a family. Oh, we're also doing like Monday night's family movie night, and we're watching movies about like, I don't know, kind of historical things of like people doing hard things, like overcoming hard things. So we watched Hidden Figures about, you know, the African-American women in NASA. We watched Apollo 13, you know, that kind of stuff. People struggling. And it's like lessons for the kids, but it's also good films that we want to see. So getting some stuff. And this is also good to do in winter, to be honest. We were doing some of these things, especially the indoor things in winter, just to have something to look forward to each week. But it's definitely time to kind of up your fun game. The eighth tactic is to revisit your annual goals. So we're getting close to the midway point of the year, and you kind of want to revisit them now so that in September you don't have to cram 6 months of work into like 3 or 4 months. In fact, Mike, you and I should maybe just at the beginning of next episode do a little touch base about where we stand with the goals that we set forth last December.
Sure.
So yeah, this is a good time to do it. And you know, you'll either find yourself well ahead of schedule, or you will remind yourself that you are not actually exercising twice a week, or you know, that you're way ahead. So it's always good to reflect on these every couple months, and summer's a good time to do it.
Yeah, I'm definitely a little bit behind on my exercise schedule, but part of that's due to my shoulder being kind of out of commission for like the past 6 weeks.
Mike.
I know.
Oh, man.
But yeah, I'll get there. I'm not too far behind, but it could be worse. Anyway, back to our list. Number 9 is to allow for cheat days. And essentially what you're doing with a cheat day is giving yourself permission to just throw in the towel on any given day for whatever reason you feel like, and just kind of walk away and do anything that you want at that point. And really the idea here is, you know, setting up those rules in advance so that you don't feel guilty about taking that time off. If you've already given yourself permission to take time off whenever you feel like it because something came up that you just want to go do, whether that's just going to see a movie in the middle of the day or going out running, for example, if you have like a nature trail nearby, you want to go running through the woods, or if there's a hiking trail, you can do that as well. Go to a pool, go to a basketball court, anything along those lines. But the bottom line here is that just giving yourself that ability to do those types of things in the middle of the day and just call it quits on the day without feeling guilty about it, that's a huge piece of this.
Is the gist of this episode that we're telling people not to work during the summer?
Well, you know what? I don't want to say that. I don't want to go that far. But I think that, you know, kind of looking around, what I've seen historically over the past several years is that business for people that, you know, like you and me, it feels like it kind of ramps down a little bit during the summertime. It doesn't seem like things are picking up. It's not like the beginning of the year or after summertime where things are really picking up and the pace is hectic. It feels to me like the schedule seems to be much more dialed back in the middle of July, for example. You know, same thing happens for a lot of businesses second or third week of December. I mean, the business is just, they don't do a lot, at least not our types of businesses. So like the demands are a lot less pressing, and you can kind of take it easy. And I think that it's a good time to kind of recharge your batteries and, you know, not put the pedal to the metal, because you don't have to. Like, there's no real driving force to make you do it. And, you know, everybody needs a little bit of time off.
And, you know, it's interesting that the advice of only working, let's say 6 hour days, I actually think that for a lot of people, that would be better year round. Like, that you would actually get more done with more focused time if you time boxed your day, if you got out and did some exercise instead of sitting in front of your computer for another hour, kind of clicking around on social media, or kind of doing whatever you're doing while you're getting distracted. This is stuff that can apply if used well. It can apply and actually improve your productivity in a counterintuitive way, right? Meaning working shorter days, I believe you can actually get more done because you can be so focused about it. So that about wraps us up for today. If you have a question for us, call our voicemail at 888-801-9690, or you can email us at questions@startupsfortherestofus.com. Our theme music is an excerpt from We're Out of Control by Moot, used under Creative Commons. Subscribe to us on iTunes by searching for Startups, and visit startupsfortherestofus.com for a full transcript of each episode. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.